I don't know how you've been making out, but the weather hasn't been doing me any favours recently. Take the last trip. I started out right by setting a downwind course, because at least that way I was guaranteed a minimum of one fair breeze. It was the last good call I made, so my wife and I kept up our spirits with a combination of strong drink and memories of better times. Nonetheless, in the dark of the night I fell to pondering how boat ownership has condemned my family to a life in the poorhouse, where my only reward seems sometimes to be a preview of the hell waiting for me when I finally slip my cable. Facing up like this to what passes for reality has led me to look again at what I'm trying to achieve with my yachting. The jolly afternoon out in the Solent, on the Clyde, or in the Stockholm Archipelago is delightful. But that isn't the reason I run an expensive cruiser I can barely afford. For inshore sailing, we could all have more fun in beautiful wooden day boats. We'd have the time and the resources to maintain them too, freed from the commitment of the yacht. When planning my summer's efforts, I generally forget the passages and fantasize about the proposed cruising ground. That's all very well too, but if what I really want is to blast up and down behind the islands of the Eastern Caribbean or plough my furrow across the Isselmere, I could save myself a fortune by chartering. I've been tempted by both of these attractions, yet I've never gone for either, because in some primeval way I need to own a boat I can live on for a while, capable of voyaging to strange lands. Maybe it's the call of the genuinely wild. An old climber once remarked to me that the mountains and the oceans were the only two worthwhile remaining wildernesses. There may be something in this, because I sometimes turn my VHF off at sea for no other reason than to feel alone. I don't carry an SSB or a sat phone. They seem like a lot of trouble, and to be honest, I don't really want to talk to anybody outside my own boat anyway. There's my crew and there's the Almighty, who always seems somehow more real under these circumstances. I also have what passes for my thoughts. These don't get much of an airing ashore because life's too busy for serious thinking. At sea, that's not so, and much can be said for the proposition that there are no atheists on the battlefield or in an ocean storm. Long passages have taught me patience, a virtue that doesn't come to me naturally. Like most modern people, I'm one of life's sprinters, always looking for the next result, rather than being content with where I am. Plotting a day's 100-mile run on a huge ocean chart and noting the insignificant inroad it makes on the main event hammers home the point that each 24-hour period is an entirety, to be lived as such. Even a cross-channel trip represents a whole day of our lives, and we don't get that many. The only conclusion is that a major part of my reasoning for giving half my life to yacht cruising has to be the passage making. However grim it can be at times, it has the power to deliver pure magic when things turn for the better. And I'll bet a bottle of rum to half of mild that if you're a regular YM reader, you feel just the same. So why, I wonder, do most of us seek a boat that's a little bit faster than our last, or than somebody else's? Since we want to be at sea, we can't be in that much of a rush, can we? Performance and spacious ease in harbour can be synonymous features in many of the cruisers available today. Unfortunately, the same two qualities are not guaranteed to deliver comfort out there under the wide sky and the running waves. Maybe the big picture is worth a second thought next time we trade up or down.